WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day, a new week, and a new year here on the program. Hope that not only is today starting off well for you, but I hope 2026 is starting off well for you. We had some nice time off here and ready to get back to work, ready to get back at it. I think we had, a nice little holiday break. Everybody's refreshed, relaxed, ready to go. We do have a little bit of a schedule change. I don't know if you caught Brian mentioning it when he was filling in for Barry before the new year, but the Brian's Beat program has shifted back to Saturday afternoons, and Brian has ended his Freedom Fools show, and so tonight at 6 o'clock and weeknights at 6 o'clock, we'll go back to having the first hour of the Howie Carr Show, rebroadcasting at 6 o'clock. So basically what happens is, well, first of all, Brian wanted to cut back on his schedule. So he was trying to decide which show he wanted to give up, whether it be the weeknight show or the Saturday show. He decided to keep the Saturday show. And I think, you know, anybody that's ever done a talk show can tell you 1 hour is a hard time to do a talk show. But we had other programming we have to run, and he had other things that he had to do. So, you know, 1 hour was all we could do on weeknights. And it is hard because just when you start getting a conversation going and people start calling in, it's like, well, oh, we got to go. So I think the freedom of, you know, no pun intended because it was the freedom full of slop, but the freedom of having a 3 hour discussion is a lot more beneficial to covering the topics that Brian likes to cover. So what happens is, this happened about a year ago, the Howie Carr Show changed their hours. So instead of being on 3 to 7, they went on 2 to 6. And because we have Barry on still from 2 to 3, we originally started picking it up in the second hour live, and our system records the first hour. So the 6 o'clock hour would be, here on WBSM, would be what Howie was airing at 2 p.m. And then Brian came in and started doing his program, and now we're switching back to that Howie Carr first hour. So basically the last hour of the Howie Carr Show every weeknight here on WBSM is actually the first hour of the program that you don't get to hear live on WBSM. And then, of course, Paul Santos made the announcement that starting in a couple of weeks, he is going to be switching over his Saturday morning show from the Paul Santos Show to Santos on Sports. So we've had a lot of folks that have wanted to, you know, come up with the idea of doing sports shows on WBSM. Paul's been doing a podcast, sports podcast, for a number of years now, and he just wants to shift the focus of his program to be something a little bit different. So that'll be on the 17th. It'll start. But he'll be back with one more edition of the Paul Santos Show as we've known it, coming up this Saturday. So those are just the 2026 programming changes. Also, with it being a new year, I'd like to try to get more folks to take advantage of our open line voicemail feature. And I think the, you know, the Paul Santos switch over to sports is a great opportunity for that because, you know, that's going to be a Saturday show, but you might want to chime in on something that happened on Monday or Tuesday and you're like, well, I'm going to forget about it by Saturday. Or maybe, you know, you'll not be up early on Saturday because it's your day to sleep in or whatever it may be. You can record those open line voicemails at any point. And we can get those over to Paul to play on the show. Just don't do it on Saturday morning at 6 a.m. and be like, here, Paul can play this on the show because I'm not up and I need time to get it ready. But you can certainly use the open line voicemail feature for that. And hopefully people will use it more over the course of this year for letting their thoughts be heard. I hear from a lot of people who say to me, you know, they love to listen to the show. They don't want to call in. They're just nervous about being on live radio. The great thing is you're recording this voicemail on your phone, and it's not like you only get one shot at it. If you don't like what you said, you're like, ah, that was stupid. Oh, I forgot to say this. You just delete it before you send it and record a new one. So it's a great way to be able to participate in the conversation without worrying about, you know, being live on the air as you're doing it. And you can do that on the WBSM app. Super easy. Just open up the app, hit the open line voicemail button, and just follow the prompts. So hopefully we'll get more people utilizing that this year. And so now with it being a new year, with it being 2026, there's going to be a new city council president starting tonight. The council will convene and be sworn in, the new council. So no longer will Maria Giesta be the Ward 2 councilor after tonight. It'll be Scott Pemberton. And as you know, Councilor Linda Morad did not seek re-election. James Roy will be sworn in tonight. And they will elect a new president. It appears that it's lined up for that to be Ward 6 Councilor Ryan Pereira. But as of right now, the council president is still Shane Burgo. He's going to be with us today for one final go-around with everybody. He's going to reflect back on his year as council president and take your phone calls. And we'll talk about, you know, I mean, we talked about it before, but we can talk more about it again today. You know, the difference between being a counselor on the floor and being the person with the gavel, being the person that's on the dais and in charge of running the meetings. And, you know, to be a little cheeky about it, you know, if you didn't like and you were worried about Shane Burgo as council president, He can be a lot more effective, not as the council president, in pushing some of the things that he wants to get done. So we'll talk about all that more coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. We also have a new contest for you up at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. The Portuguese Kids are coming to the Vault on January 23rd, the Vault Performing Arts Center in New Bedford, and we have a pair of tickets to give away to that. If you'd like to just buy tickets, I think they're about $30. We have a link in the story, a link in the contest post that you can just click on to go over and buy those, or you can go to thevaultnb.com. But if you want to enter to win a pair, you can do that right at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and you could be going to the show for free. And that is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, and the Vault Performing Arts Center. Should be a really fun show. It's called, I don't want to say it wrong, Improvisistas. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's a Friday night. Nice night to get out of the house and have a good time. Maybe have some dinner in the pub side of the Vault beforehand. And I love going to the Vault for shows because I just call an Uber. I get dropped off right in front of the Vault, can have as many beers as I want. Then I get picked up. I have never waited for an Uber leaving the vault. You know, there's a lot of them usually just park down the street and wait for the shows to get out. That's what I used to do when I was driving an Uber. Because at the time I still worked at the Standard Times, I would just go park over at the Standard Times and just wait until people were leaving the bars and needed a ride. But it makes for a nice, easy night. No fuss, no worrying about, you know, parking. You can park at the Elm Street Garage and walk up the hill a couple blocks, but I just find it easier just to take the Uber. So we can talk about a lot of different things this morning. Whatever is on your mind at 508-996-0500. We can talk about Venezuela if you'd like. I'm sure Chris McCarthy will get more into that. I know Barry Richard is planning on talking about it. But we can certainly discuss it if you'd like. We can also talk about some of these incidents that happened over the holiday break, including two fatal crashes in New Bedford, one being a hit and run, and a 16-year-old charged in that hit and run. And we still haven't received a lot of the details. Normally, I would tell you, you know, the arraignment's going to happen today, most likely. You'll get more information. Well, you know, there'll be news outlets there reporting on what goes on, but this is in juvenile court. So I think we're going to be at the mercy of whatever the DA's office puts out. But all that we are aware of at this point is that it was a 16-year-old juvenile from Dartmouth that was charged in the fatal hit and run. The details of what happened, we're not sure. The details of who else might have been in the vehicle, we're not sure. The DA's office put out a release about the charges and did not mention juvenile operator violations, but the New Bedford Police Department put out a release where they did mention those. And from what I was reading people posting, I didn't go and read the junior operator rules myself. And to be honest with you, I'm not familiar with them because I didn't have to deal with them. My son waited until he was 18 to get his driver's license because it was during COVID that all this stuff was happening. And so for him, it was just like, you know, he wouldn't be able to get a driver's ed appointment anyway. There wasn't any operating. And they were backed up even when the RMV was taking appointments again for road tests. They were backed up so much that, you know, he just didn't bother to push for it. So by the time he got his license, he wasn't even under those same restrictions anymore. He wouldn't be under those restrictions that a 16-and-a-half-year-old would be under. So I wasn't familiar with them. But from my understanding, a person could be on the road until 12:30 if they had an adult in the vehicle. So I don't know anything, and I'm just speculating here. But, you know, there were a lot of people who were commenting and putting their own theories about what happened, that, you know, was this person alone in the vehicle and they shouldn't have been and that's why they drove away? Was this person not the driver of the vehicle? But that it was an adult that did it, and they're telling the kid to say you were driving because a juvenile is not going to face the same charges. I don't know. One of the theories, and it's one that I think is a possibility, is maybe this 16-year-old went out to go pick up an adult who had been drinking for New Year's Eve and couldn't drive home and said, hey, can you come and pick me up? It doesn't excuse leaving, you know, hitting someone and leaving the scene, but I'm just saying there may be more to the story that, you know, we're not being told yet. Not that that will change the outcome of what happened. Still a life cut short. Still laws broken, but, you know, it remains to be seen how much information we get on this. But the New Bedford Police Department has decided to ramp up efforts for after dark traffic enforcement. We can get into some of that. And we'll certainly talk to Council President Burgo about it later on when he's in. And we'll take your calls, 508-996-0500. But it's, I mean, I can give you a quick list of some of the things that they have planned. Is, you know, they're looking for keeping the streets safer after dark. And they'll be focusing on speeding, red light violations, stop sign violations, distracted driving, and pedestrian violations. Because that's the important thing to note here, is there are two responsible parties when it comes to someone crossing the street in the dark. Not only are drivers, you know, do they need to be aware and do they need to be following all the laws, but so do the pedestrians. And as someone who drives through heavily congested areas of New Bedford, myself, on a daily basis, going through busy neighborhoods where there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, I can tell you that many of them do not follow the rules. Many of them just walk right out into the street. Many of them are crossing the street while they're looking at their phone. So I'm glad that this enforcement will also focus on making sure that the pedestrians are being as safe as they can be as well. Let me get a break in here. We will be back in a few moments.
Young people are leaving foster care at the age of 18 with little support and few skills. The National Fund for Foster Children partners with individuals, businesses, churches, and civic groups to provide mentorship, training, and assistance to foster children. Teach a young person a new skill or help them with homework. You don't need to be a foster parent to help a foster child. To find out how you can help, go to fosterchildrenfund.org or contact us on Facebook, National Fund for Foster Children.
You're waking up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
Venezuela's Maduro scheduled for court today. Heavy rains in Southern California, and the first Uvalde trial begins today.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The first trial connected to the police response in the mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, is set to start. Jury selection will begin today in the trial of former Uvalde school officer Adrian Gonzalez, accused of failing to engage the gunman after arriving at Robb Elementary School during the massacre in 2022. 19 children and two teachers were killed. He's facing 29 felony counts of abandoning or endangering a child. The trial was moved to Corpus Christi after Gonzalez's attorney filed for a change of venue, arguing he wouldn't be able to get a fair trial in Uvalde. President Trump reportedly threatening Venezuela's new leader in a phone interview with The Atlantic. Trump said, if Delcy Rodriguez doesn't do what's right, she is, quote, going to pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro. Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro is set to make his first court appearance in New York today. Federal prosecutors are charging Maduro, his wife, and their adult son with drug trafficking. Rodriguez has served as the vice president of Venezuela since 2018. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani continues to fill out his new administration with the naming of a Commissioner of Housing, Preservation, and Development.
Calling her a person you're glad to have on your side, Mamdani appointed Dina Levy, previously a senior New York State housing official and city housing commissioner. Speaking at a Sunday morning news conference, Levy talked about the work ahead.
We will need to try new, innovative, and sometimes scary innovations, and we will need to embrace a willingness to rethink how we do business.
Also Sunday, Mamdani signed an executive order directing city agencies to hold hearings at which tenants can highlight landlord abuses. I'm Larry Kofsky.
Southern California getting slammed with more rainfall. Heavy rain reported across the region over the weekend, especially north of Los Angeles in the Santa Barbara area, where flights were grounded and roads were flooded. The National Weather Service says the stormy weather is expected to continue through tomorrow. The Wisconsin judge convicted of obstructing ICE agents who were trying to arrest a Mexican immigrant has resigned from her post. Former Milwaukee County Judge Hannah Dukin announced her resignation on Saturday. Her felony conviction came after an incident last year where prosecutors accused her of helping an illegal immigrant evade federal agents. Dugan was acquitted of a misdemeanor charge of concealing a wanted person. Today will mark Georgia Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene's final day in office. She announced her resignation in November following a public fallout with President Trump. Once a staunch supporter of the president, Greene broke from Trump on issues like his handling of health care subsidies and the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. On Saturday, she criticized the U.S.'s actions in Venezuela. Greene was first elected to serve as Georgia's 14th congressional district in 2020 and won re-election in 2022 and 2024. Stellantis is resurrecting a V8-powered Ram pickup truck called the TRX.
The $100,000 vehicle is being revived as the company faces fewer federal emissions regulations. It was first produced for the 2021 to 2024 model years, and now the 2027 Ram 1500 SRT TRX will be available in late 2026. Ram CEO Tim Kanuskis has been leading a turnaround plan since unretiring from the automaker a year ago. I'm Matt Mattinson.
Billy Joel still off the road indefinitely, but he gave some fans in Florida a big surprise on Friday. The Rock and Roll Hall of Famer performed two songs with a Billy Joel cover band called Turnstiles at an amphitheater in Wellington. Joel, who owns property in the city, walked on stage with the help of a cane before taking a seat at the piano. Together, Joel and Turnstiles played his hits We Didn't Start the Fire and Big Shot. Joel announced last May that he had to cancel all future concerts after being diagnosed with a brain disorder.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Pats with a win over the Dolphins 38-10 yesterday. Patriots will host the number 7 seed Chargers in the AFC wild card round next weekend after Los Angeles fell to the number 1 seed Denver Broncos. Celtics will host the Bulls tonight at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast, brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
A cold and cloudy start to the day today, only up to the lower 30s this afternoon. Coating of light snow possible overnight tonight. 16 for your low. Cloudy tomorrow, 41. Partial sun for Wednesday, 42. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Johnny Ray.
you imagine being the lead singer of Turnstiles, the Billy Joel tribute band that Billy Joel sat in with? Can you imagine being in that band as the lead singer and you spent all that time learning all the lyrics to We Didn't Start the Fire and you're ready to sit, you're ready to perform it, and then Billy Joel's there and he's like, I'll just handle this, thank you. And you're like, oh, what did I memorize all those for? No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure they were thrilled. And there's actually a number of Billy Joel tribute bands out there that Billy Joel has popped up and performed with. And he's been known to do this for a long time. Like, he'll just go to clubs and jump up on stage with whatever band is playing, you know, whether it's a Billy Joel tribute band or not. But I think he likes to go find Billy Joel bands. I had a science teacher when I was in high school who was a, if I remember right, saxophone player. And had a band that would play on the Cape. And one night, Billy Joel got up on stage and played with them. I don't remember if they played Billy Joel songs or not, but still, you know, a pretty cool experience. And actually, his Billy Joel's guitar player is also in a Billy Joel tribute band. So when he's not performing with Billy Joel, he has a Billy Joel tribute band. And I know Billy Joel has played with his band before. He's a really great guy. His name's Mike. He follows me and Spooky South Coast on social media. That's how I found out about him. And I was like, okay, this guy's in a Billy Joel tribute band. They're really good. And then I was like, no, wait a minute. He's also in the real Billy Joel band. Get some inside knowledge there on how to run that tribute band. But anyway, that song, We Didn't Start the Fire, mentions 59 different people. And out of that now, with the passing of Brigitte Bardot last week, that means that only three of the 59 people mentioned that in that song are still alive. One is Bernie Goetz, who, if you remember, was convicted in 1987 on a low-level weapons charge and spent 6 months in prison. Later tried to run for mayor of New York. He was the guy who was violently robbed in the New York City subway in 1981 and then began carrying a gun. And then in December of 1984, used it to shoot four men he believed were about to mug him. So Bernard Goetz is one of the people mentioned in that song. Chubby Checker, who, of course, had a huge hit with The Twist. Still out there, still performing. And then Bob Dylan is mentioned in the song. So those are the only three of the 59 people mentioned in We Didn't Start the Fire that are still alive. So if you remember the lyrics, it's, you know, Chubby Checker, Psycho, Belgians in the Congo, Dylan, Berlin, Bay of Pigs Invasion, and AIDS, Crack, Bernie Goetz. So those are the only three living people, only three people left still living from that song. And, you know, specifically mentioned, there are other people that were mentioned in some of the things that were discussed that are still alive. You know, obviously the Rock and Roller Cola Wars, which people incorrectly heard the lyrics. There's a lot of misheard lyrics in music. And someday when we're looking for a fun Friday topic, maybe we'll do that. Write that down. Maybe I'll try to remember it for this week. But misheard song lyrics, it's kind of like an interest of mine. And there's a book about it. There's a calendar. There used to be a calendar about it. I had the calendar where every day it would give you a different misheard lyric. And sometimes I would look at them and be like, oh, I've been thinking of the wrong thing too. And the name of the book was There's a Bathroom on the Right. Because people thought that that's what the lyrics were to Bad Moon Rising. Because why, you know, when you're talking about the end of the world coming, why would you be mentioning that there's a bathroom? But whatever. But one of the misheard lyrics is that people thought that the lyric at the end of We Didn't Start the Fire, Rock and Roller Cola Wars, was Rock and Roller Color Wars. And they thought that it had to do with, you know, in the 1980s, there was, in the early 80s, there was an issue with MTV when it first started that they complained that MTV didn't play enough black artists. MTV's pushback was, there aren't enough black artists making music videos. And, you know, we're programming MTV similar to what your top 40 stations are programming your music. And you need to have more black artists that are, you know, topping the charts and all this different stuff that they tried to use to justify it. Then Michael Jackson comes along with the biggest album of all time to that point, with Thriller. And that just opens the door for so many more black artists to get onto MTV. So a lot of people thought that that's what those lyrics were talking about. But in the chronological events, that comes too late in the song. The song goes chronologically through Billy Joel's life. And so that came too late. It was actually Rock and Roller Cola Wars, because at the time in the late 80s, Diet Coke to some degree, but it was really more Diet Coke that was pushing with the music, the musicians. They had what Paula Abdul was doing spots. I think Tina Turner was doing spots. And then you had on the other side, you had Pepsi. Pepsi had Michael Jackson. Remember, he famously got burnt up filming one of the commercials. But Diet Pepsi had, you know, Ray Charles. We played that a couple weeks ago on the Gen X Files. You got the right one, baby. Elton John was in, I think, the Diet Coke commercials. So that's what that was referencing, is that, you know, the soda companies were spending lots of money getting these megastars to sing their jingles. I mean, I was always a Coca-Cola person growing up. I never really liked Pepsi. I don't dislike it, but I always preferred Coke. And I was also a Max Headroom guy, so that was like the perfect pairing for me. By the way, happy belated birthday, Matt Frewer, the guy who plays Max Headroom. He and I share a birthday. Our birthday was yesterday. All right, I got to get a break in here. 508-996-0500. We'll be back in a few moments.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Aren't stopping that song until we got to the Michael McDonald, at least even one little part of Michael McDonald. So you are probably waking up this morning and it's very cold. It is going to get warmer, but right now it is pretty darn cold out there. It is 18 degrees according to my watch, and today is not going to get too much warmer. Then tomorrow it'll start to warm up a little bit. We're going to have temperatures in the 40s later on this week with some unsettled weather, some rain. But I'll take it. I'll take that for sure, because I like rain much more than I like snow. But I want to let you know that upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming. But with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. And I was thinking, you know, with the weather, how it was over the holidays, what do you prefer? Would you rather have, say, one or two snowstorms, maybe three or four snowstorms over the course of the winter, where you have to get out and shovel, where it's, you know, 3 to 4 inches, maybe more, that fall? Or would you rather have a prolonged season of lighter snow? So the other day when it snowed and I looked out the window and I was like, oh, didn't I just clear off the car the other day? Now I'm going to have to go out there and do it again. I thought to myself, well, at least it only takes a couple of minutes. I'd much rather go through that than be out shoveling massive amounts of snow. And so I happened to be talking to a friend about the weather, and because we were texting and they said, do you know if it's going to snow again this week? And I said, no, it's going to rain later on in the week. Should wash out the snow that's around. And my friend said, I just wish it would snow once and that'd be it. And I was like, interesting. I would rather deal with the little smaller amounts that I don't have to shovel, but that I don't, you know, I don't mind clearing it off. I don't mind having to go out and throw some salt down, or, you know, ice melt, whatever you're going to throw down, sand. So, and that was my perspective, is I was like, I'd much rather it be like this. And my friend said, yeah, but that is actually harder to deal with, because nobody came around and plowed the other day. So don't, that's a good point. When it snows a significant amount, they'll come out and they'll plow and sand the roads and salt the roads and all that stuff. And, you know, the other day, none of that happened. I actually had to go somewhere, and I was in the parking lot of a business that they hadn't had cleared out. And so everything was iced over. And I was kind of sliding all over the place. I had trouble getting enough traction to get out of there. So I can look at it either way, but I'd much rather not have to shovel ever, because it makes me angry. 508-996-0500. So we can talk more coming up in the next hour. You know, we still have some time in this hour too, but I want to discuss more this enforcement that the New Bedford Police Department is going to be focusing on after dark issues with both drivers and pedestrians following a couple of fatal incidents over the last few days. One being a hit and run, in which now a 16-year-old from Dartmouth is charged in that hit and run. And the other being, you know, a fatal pedestrian strike, but the driver remained on scene. So this is certainly something that there's a lot of discussion that has to happen around these, beyond just people need to slow down, people need to not be on their phones, or people need to pay attention when they're crossing the street. There's a lot of little nuances to these situations. And I think one of the biggest problems, and something that's not discussed enough, is lighting. Is there enough lighting at intersections where people are going to be crossing in the dark? Is there enough lighting on the roads for people to see where there are pedestrians? Is there enough counterbalance to how bright headlights are now? And listen, I'm guilty of it. I went out and bought the absolute brightest headlights I could get my hands on. Now, in my vehicle, they're not overwhelmingly bright. Like, I turned them on, I stood outside my car and I looked at them, and they weren't blinding to me. And they do help me see a little bit better on the road, but, you know, not much more than the ones I was buying before. I don't know that I'd pay $75 for them again. But again, these are the brightest you can buy in the store. I don't know how people get these ones that are blinding me as they're driving toward me. But are we letting headlights get too bright where it's affecting when people can see if it's safe to cross? So these are just some of the issues that I think are part of this discussion. 508-996-0500, app chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But I do think having more officers out and enforcing some of these things will be helpful. And enforcement doesn't necessarily have to mean they're out there looking to ticket people either. It doesn't mean they're out there looking to arrest people. It just means they want to raise awareness. And that awareness might be, you know, if they're parked at a intersection where a lot of people might cross and people see the police officer and slow down and pay attention and put their phone down, they might realize, hey, wait a minute, I should be doing that all the time when I go through this intersection. Let me take a quick phone call here. I do have a break I got to take before the end of the hour, but let's get this call in. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. A few weeks ago, you mentioned about a record place that's opened in the Kilburn Mill in the South End.
Yes.
And do you know if they sell old 45s?
I didn't see any 45s when I was in there, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have them. I would recommend, you know, just giving them a call. It's called Record High.
Okay.
And then you can find out if he deals in 45s. I can tell you where I saw some 45s recently. If you're interested in buying some.
Okay, yeah, I know two places, Match J Records, and there's a place in Somerset called Sunset Records.
So I went into the Acushnet River Antiques over, you know, it's the street behind Kyler's Catch.
Yes.
And one of the dealers in there had a whole big box of 45s.
Okay.
I didn't go through them, so I can't tell you what's in it, but I bought some other records while I was there. But there is a whole big box of 45s just waiting for you to pick through.
Okay. Did you look to see maybe if they were kind of beat up or not?
I didn't look at the 45s, but I can tell you that the records that I bought, the regular LPs, were all in great shape.
Okay. And did the 45s have the sleeve with it? Do you remember?
They had the sleeves on them, yes.
Okay, very good. Now, I have 443 45s. They're all brand new in mint condition. No skips, no scratches. They all play like CDs.
Wow, that's incredible.
I started buying them in 2009, and I first went to a place called Vinyl Stage on Allen Street, right up above St. Luke's on the other side of the street.
Mm-hmm.
And then Max J Records, the place in Somerset. And I went to Boston one time, a place called Cheapo's in Central Square in Cambridge.
Yeah, not a lot of the record stores carry those 45s anymore, but I always loved them when I was a kid, you know, because, A, they were cheap, and also, you know, it was fun to just, you know, get the one song that you wanted and then see what was on the other side.
Yeah, I got to admit, very rarely did I play the flip side, but once in a while you would come across a gem, yeah.
Well, I hope that if you get over there to the antique shop, I hope they got some good ones in there for you.
And I have 223 CDs, Tim. How about that?
Wow.
223.
Well, they're making a comeback.
And I have no albums and no tapes, and I really don't plan to buy any.
I like the albums. I got some over the weekend that were missing from my collection. I was in Plymouth and hit a couple of record stores there, and came away with some good ones. So I've got almost all the Monkees albums that I was looking for. Got all the Cars, most of the U2 I'm looking for. So I mean, I'm doing pretty well.
Okay, how do you like this new vinyl compared to the old?
I try to buy the originals. I try to buy the original. Not that I dislike the new ones, but I'd rather have the originals.
Okay.
Even if they're a little more beat up.
All right. Yep. Thank you, Tim. Have a good one.
You as well. All right. Let's see here. Tell you what. I'm going to hold off and not take that break, and I'm going to move these here. And so we will be back in the next hour. We're going to take more of your calls, 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And then in the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by New Bedford City Council President, at least for the rest of today, or at least until this evening, Shane Burgo. He's going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour to kind of wrap up his year as the council president and take your calls. And then we will see who the new president is and if they're going to continue to come in and join us. So we will we'll extend that invitation. Again, if it doesn't work for this show, we can see what we can set up with Chris McCarthy's show. But, you know, even Chris and I both had this conversation. We'd love to keep it in the morning for you. It may not necessarily be Monday, but